Welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Currently Nerdy Podcast. We're a comedic, social, and current events podcast where we give you a nerdy outlook on what's going on in the world today, giving you a look inside the inner conclave of nerdom, and we're here to take over the world with our nerd imperium. So all hail the Currently Nerdy Empire.
Hail.
Thank you, V. Thank you. You're a good guy. We give this podcast to you free every week on currentlynerdy.com and on iTunes, so please feel free to rate, review, subscribe, and share a page and podcast to all your friends, family members, and loved ones, because you truly don't love someone until you've spread the gospel of Currently Nerdy. Hallelujah. Holla back, little homie. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. We are your hosts of this majestic, wonderful, award-winning, Grammy-nominated podcast. My name is Diz, and I am your pop culture slash sports nerd, which means I can tell you that the UFC has its first openly gay champion in Amanda Nunes. She's also a lesbian, which is something new.
No one cares about the UFC.
That's messed up. They care about gay rights. And that Calvin Harris has thrown a major shade at Taylor Swift, Tay-Tay, as they call her in the pop culture.
Isn't she already dating somebody else?
Yeah, fucking Loki.
I hear they're getting married.
Oh, I don't know. Well, he's old. And now
is he that much older than her? I don't think so.
I don't know. And I now, met a transsexual named Tay-Tay once.
To the elder statesman of
there's
the
a story there.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. Now to the elder statesman of the group. Well, you're not the oldest, but you kind of look it and you act like it. Ali, take it away.
My name is Ali Ilomi. I am the classic nerd of the group, which means I like to bring you the background information on the various topics that we discuss. V-Tran?
My name is V-Tran, and I currently have the black lung from working the coal mine, so I have to excuse me if you hear the coughing, but I also cover all the things that Ali and Diz do
you're
not.
You're barely allowed in my apartment with all that coughing.
Wait, I know. Hold on. I'm the smoker here, and somehow you have the smoker's cough.
It's that secondhand smoke, Diz.
But I don't, like, I don't smoke in your presence all the time.
Presence. I know.
I said presence instead of presence.
But you're the very idea of you is destructive to my well-being.
Are you trying to say that I'm like a cancer?
In a sense.
I would say I'm more of like a benign tumor. I'm like a mild irritant at best.
I don't know.
Would you agree?
Would you say
I'm cancerous or more benign?
I wouldn't say you're cancerous because cancer is like
kills you.
Corrosive and it kills you.
It's actually efficient.
You're like poison ivy.
Like a mild irritant.
That's not a mild irritant. It's a severe irritant, but it's not like, it's not deadly.
You guys ever gotten poison ivy before?
Mm-mm.
No? Have you, Ali?
Mm-mm.
No? I've gotten poison ivy because I grew up
in stupid.
I grew up in the East Coast, and there was like woods and fucking forests and shit everywhere, and I like to explore.
Yeah.
So I would always get poison ivy. The worst case of it once was when I was in high school and I first learned how to masturbate. I had poison ivy and I didn't realize I had it, and I was masturbating. So I got poison ivy on my dick too, which was kind of a pain in the ass.
You got poison ivy on your what?
On my penis. Because you know it spreads, right? It's contagious. Like,
if you touch it or whatever.
Yeah, so if you touch it with your hands.
And then you touch your penis.
Yeah, like later on. Like if you're scratching and then you whack off, you get it on your dick. It's a true story.
Why exactly were you... How did that put you in the mood?
Yeah. It didn't. I didn't know I had it. I was just itchy, right?
So you had poison ivy of the penis.
I did.
I'm pretty sure that's an STD.
It's not. It's just poison ivy.
Pretty sure that's literally an STD.
I had poison ivy like on my face and shit.
That's an STD.
I scratched my face and then I touched myself and then I got poison ivy.
Poison ivy and Batman. Very sexual. Mm. Also poison ivy. Kind of a poison ivy for the penis as well.
STD.
Yeah.
STD.
Stop accusing me of
that. I had a similar situation, although not in the masturbating part. It was
STD bit?
I had a sore muscle and I put like Tiger Balm on it.
Ah.
And I didn't wash my hands thoroughly enough and I went to take a pee and it still had the Icy Hot on there. That was rough.
You went and touched yourself. Don't lie, V.
It was bad.
You don't got to lie to kick it, bro.
You thought Tiger Bomb would be a good lube.
Yeah, right.
How painful was it?
It was the worst.
This is a gross conversation.
Here's the craziest part. With Tiger Bomb.
Our listeners are having to put up with
listening
to your penis stories.
Listen, here's the shitty part with Tiger Bomb. Because water just intensifies it. So if you try to wash it, it hurts even more. Did that happen to you?
I don't remember that part. I don't know. I don't remember.
Put it out with sand. Like, what are we talking about?
It intensifies
here?
It.
Can I pause this for a moment and ask, is this how low we've sunk?
Sometimes.
Is this how low we've sunk?
Isn't this par for the course having someone like Diz on this podcast?
Our first episode, I was like talking about the Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, but I have elevated it over the years, this conversation to the best of my ability.
I miss our shitty song of the week.
I do. Our shitty song of the week was awesome. And then...
Yeah, but the problem with segments is there's only one of us that's consistent.
What? We got to make V do more field research.
I'm the only person who's consistently done my part.
What is your part? You have to give us a word every week.
I come up with a topic every single time.
That's not always you.
99% of the topics are me.
That's bullshit.
V?
I disagree.
Be honest. 99% of the topics are me.
I'm not getting involved.
1%. I 1% are you two. So I'm dividing that 1% amongst you. No. So you're 0.5.
I would say it's 50-25-25.
You were so overestimating. 99% of you come in and go, what are we talking about today?
I'll give you 60-20-20.
No. Go 60, to I'll give you
60-30-10.
It'd be the one time that me and Diz were part of the 1% instead of a Lee.
60 you, 30 me, 10 V.
The lowest I'll go is 90.
Fuck you.
90% of the 99, to be honest with you. If we go back and listen to every single one of our podcasts, I will do a fucking statistics chart for you.
Well, please. By all means, you can see how much of a bully you are.
Not just how much of a bully, you'll see how right I am.
You just speak 98% of the time.
That's because I'm actually contributing something.
I contribute too.
I research. I look up.
I don't need to. That's not my role, motherfucker.
No, that's what you'd like to tell yourself. That's how you justify your laziness. This is what you do. You justify laziness. You go, well, it's not my role, so I'm just going to sit here like a fat ass and eat a pizza or something.
Wait, man. Don't body shame me.
I'm not body shaming you. I'm lazy shaming you.
Don't shame me.
You're the embodiment of sloth.
Shaming is wrong by all means.
Those are popular right now, the sloths.
Listen. First of all, I learned from a great man one day that I should know my role and shut my mouth. And I know my role, and I shut my mouth when needed.
You don't know your role.
I know my role.
You don't. You know, the thing is not that you shut your mouth. It's that you open your mouth without anything positive to contribute.
So, I mean, what is your title within the context of this group exactly?
Yeah, what exactly do you do?
Comedic relief?
Comedic relief?
I bring...
You're not even that funny.
I know, but compared to you two, I'm fucking like a blast.
Please.
I'm just saying.
Please.
What am I? I am the...
This is going to be good. I want to see this. What do we put on your card?
Okay. Yeah. So you know how like every like radio show you need like...
You're not the producer.
No, I'm not the producer. Fuck that. I don't want to be the producer. You need like the one guy like, you know, in like Loveline, they have Dr. What's his name?
Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew. I'm the other guy.
Adam Carolla.
He's not... He hasn't been on there for a
year. Yeah, I think it's Psycho Mike now.
I'm Psycho Mike.
So you're an annoying, obnoxious thing.
Yeah.
That contributes nothing.
Yeah. Okay. So in the Howard Stern show, all right.
Your Beetlejuice?
V would be Robin. You're Howard. And I'm Arnie. Artie.
He's Beetlejuice.
Artie Lang. He just sits there. He's drunk and high and eats food and says dumb shit. That's me. You're Howard Stern. You know, I'll give you that.
Do you see how the amount of effort he's put in to justify his laziness? If he put that much effort into any topic that we discuss.
Wait, no. V's not Robin. He's that other dude that wears the hat and the long hair who's just like randomly does things with Howard. Like when they...
I haven't seen Howard.
He's the sound effects guy. He does the sound effects for
him. Now, see, I'd say within the context, there's a local radio station called K-Rock here and there's a show called Kevin and Bean.
Ah.
Me and Ali are Kevin and Bean, and you're like the sound machine that we press the button and it goes, wah, 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 you know?
I speak about 70% more than you do on this show.
Why? Where do you come up with these percentages is what I want to know.
You know, you may say more, but you're not actually saying anything when you speak.
You love making up these percentages.
Listen.
You do 60, what did you say? You do 40% of the work?
Yeah, I said that.
He just throws in a random percentage. Not quantifiable, but he just throws it in with such confidence, too.
That's I'm 85% more efficient at this podcast than V is.
The only thing that you're good at is being confident in your ignorance.
This is true.
That is the one thing you're good at.
I'm amazing at that.
You are, if it was a superpower, your confidence in ignorance is...
Love it. I'm a fucking amazing thing. Person.
Well, let's face it. That's kind of what's winning politics these days, so...
So you're the Trump of this podcast?
That's fucked up. And also true at the same time.
You don't know what you're doing.
Nope.
You have no idea what you're saying.
Nope.
You just say it for the purposes of saying it.
And either people really love me or they hate me. There's no middle ground.
Yeah, most people, there is no middle ground. I feel I'm not in the middle ground with you.
What?
I feel kind of lukewarm towards you most
of
the
bullshit.
Time.
Bullshit. You hate me most of the time. Listen, here's what it is.
That's not true. I don't hate you.
I don't hate you.
If I hated you, you wouldn't be in my presence.
You dislike me most of the
time. No, I mean, you're in the lukewarm stage. Like, I'm not fond of you because you annoy the hell out of me. I don't hate you because you're sometimes amusing.
But let me...
I feel lukewarm. You know what you are? You're tepid water to me.
Would your life be better or worse without me?
It would be my life. It would be the same.
Stagnant?
Just be the same. Be perfect.
Oh. What about V?
My life would be the same. My life is a success. It's not contingent upon your presence.
Not your success, just your happiness.
My happiness is not contingent. I'm happy with myself.
I feel like you two bring me happiness at times. I'm
I don't know. He throws it at times. He says a really kind statement at times.
Yeah, I'm very open to that statement. That you two do.
No, I kid. Of course, my life would be worse without you.
Yeah.
And by worse, I mean I would probably get a lot more done.
You get more guns, though, you said?
A lot more done.
Oh, no. He wants to get more guns with me being in his life.
Diz's presence somehow keeps me a liberal. Like, yeah. The second Diz has gone, I'm a neocon.
Because you're just like
that's the linchpin is Diz. When Diz is not in my life, suddenly I'm like, fuck the brown people.
I wonder that. That would be. I wonder what Ali's life would have been.
What
had
the
I not
effect
been in.
Is like? What would be the effect if I didn't exist in your life? You'd probably be dead.
No. If you were in
existence. Yeah. No. If I didn't exist. You'd be dead.
You think so?
Yeah, you'd be
Why?
Dead.
What have you done to
save I've saved someone? Your life several times.
Have you?
You don't always know, but I've saved your life several times.
Okay, probably. I could attest that. You
I've
are.
Say, yeah.
You're Mostly like some, for me, actually.
What? Shut up, V. You're just always angry.
I think we have saved Mustafa's life a couple times, too, from me. There was every moment. There's like a distinct moment where we were podcasting and he was still one of the podcasters.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking and I looked over at V. I don't think I've ever seen murderous intent more clearly on anyone's face than V's. V was looking at him like, "What? Say something else, motherfucker. Say one more word, I'm gonna reach over and strangle you." I was looking over at him, and I think Mustafa, he didn't know, but his life should have flashed before his eyes.
V, I must admit, you are very hard to like describe to people. So when like I have to like describe you to my coworkers, they're like, "Oh, who do you do the podcast with?" I'm like, "Oh, it's my cousin Ali. He's like this bald know-it-all guy, you know, like historian, always gives
thanks.
You the history of stuff." And they're like, "Oh, who's the other guy?" I'm like, "His name is V. He's kind of just like this. It's like you ever watched the movie Grumpy Old Men? You ever seen like Walter Matthau in that?
That's Matthau.
Matthau. Yeah. That's V. V is like a grumpy old. V would be the grumpy old man of this podcast.
So you described my friend on Tinder when you messaged her.
Are we gonna go into this again?
You're still
salty, dude. All the flavors in the world, and you choose to be salty.
Yeah.
You know, what's funny about that too is this happened months ago. So like, even though we're talking about it in the past two podcasts, it's actually many months in the building.
I'm still not apologetic.
Here's the thing. People should know this about me. I maintain grudges for life.
Yeah.
Can't help myself.
V's upset that his friend and I had a social interaction on Tinder.
Actually, all three of us have a tendency to maintain grudges, but in very different fashions.
I hold grudges?
Yeah, you do. You hate people. You hate people for no reason sometimes.
This is true.
You and my dad have that habit. My dad has a really random habit. Like, people that he should hate, he has no... He's like, "Oh, whatever." It's like, he hates the weatherman for no reason. So, like, he'll be sitting there and be like, "Ali, I hate that fucker."
I'm
like,
"Dad, Dallas Rains."
Yeah, I'm like, "Dude, yeah, Dallas Rains." He hates people he's never met before. He's like, he hates the anchorman. He's like, "I hate that guy. He's always talking." I'm like, "Dad, that's his job. He's giving you the news." Right? Okay. You do the same thing. You're like... When you hate someone, it's like unreasonable. There's no like good reason for it.
Spider-Man.
Right, Spider-Man, right? You don't hate him. V, you hold grudges. I still know people that you hate from fourth grade.
That's true.
Like, you to this day, fourth grade, I'll bring someone and be like, "I hate that fucker."
Why? Did he steal like your tater tot at lunch or some shit?
I'm not going to get into it right now.
Like, I can name off last names, so I just shoot them out. You'll see like V like cringe on the inside. I don't hold grudges, but I don't forget.
Mm.
So I forgive. Like, if someone apologizes, if they humble themselves before me, I forgive. I go, "I accept your apology."
Oh, my God.
The you Lord's mercy.
Yourself. Oh, my God. The mother's
always,
mercy.
Always the mother's, meek, I give him the mother's mercy. I'm very merciful. But I don't forget. There's always, like, the relationship has changed.
It's like resentment.
It's not resentment. I adjust.
You're like a resentful wife.
No. What it is, I think it's more like, it's almost like a defensive mechanism. It's like I adjust. I go, "Well, I can't trust so-and-so anymore."
Mm-hmm.
They've forgiven me, so I'm not going to be rude or mean about it.
Okay. They've forgiven you.
I've forgiven them, so I'm not going to be rude about it, but not probably going to put my trust in that person.
Yeah.
So like, I adjust accordingly.
Okay. That makes sense.
But so technically, I don't forget.
You're
but no forgetting.
You're the most rational of the three of us.
Yeah. I think your hatreds are more irrational.
Yeah.
I'm also willing to... It's like talk and compromise about
fuck
certain
that.
Things where you're not. Like, there's certain things you're like, "No, fuck that guy. I fucking hate him. I hope I never see him again."
That's true. I've said those words before.
Well, yeah, I know. I was quoting you.
Yeah, you have said the words "fuck it, I'm rich," and I have said
"fuck
that guy, I hate
him." I've never
said
"fuck it, I'm rich."
I've heard you
say. I deny these allegations. This is slander and calumny and libel.
Calumny. So it means it's true.
No, it's libel. Libelous. You're hurting my reputation.
You Freudian slip.
You're hurting my reputation as a man of the people.
You're not a man of the people.
As a Marxist.
You wear fucking...
As a proletarian.
You wear $1,000 shoes.
Proletarian.
You're a limousine.
I literally had to yell out proletarian because I didn't have a response to that one. I was like, damn it, proletarian.
You're a limousine riding liberal.
I have never...
I've stumped the great Ali.
Workers of the world unite. But I have never said, fuck them rich.
So you're
ever.
You're not...
I think the only time I've ever... The context of the situation was... Let's put this in context.
Okay.
We were in Best Buy.
Okay.
And we were debating whether we needed to get two pieces of equipment or one. I said, fuck it, let's get both. You interpreted that, translated it into your mind, fuck it, I'm rich. I never said, fuck it, I'm rich. I said, fuck it, let's get both.
But you implied,
you,
fuck it, I'm rich.
In your mind went, this motherfucker, this rich motherfucker. In your mind, you translated it into something completely different.
I know for a fact that you said it last week.
I never said it. You said it.
You ordered Persian food, and you had made some comment about how they like charge you for the yogurt and how big the portion was. And then you're just like, fuck it, I'm rich.
I mean, first of all, that didn't even make sense.
You were rich in yogurt.
That literally makes sense. We're being prejudicial.
What?
By associating Persian food with bourgeois
what?
Sensibilities.
That doesn't even... Yeah. You're just trying to like pull the race card here.
Plus, you ordered Persian food.
I did order Persian food.
Okay, we're going to settle this debate of whether you think you're rich and fuck it, okay? And then you don't have to say fuck it, I'm rich, but you could even think fuck it, I'm rich.
I've never thought it. What is this, a thought police?
Yes, I'm
you're the thought police.
I'm gonna
THOT
there
police.
Is yeah.
Listen.
Good for you, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Listen.
Thought.
Judge Diz.
You thought.
Okay. Judge Diz resides his honorary holiness.
Judge dumbass.
Ali, how many times have you been charged extra for food?
I don't remember being extra charged any time. I think maybe once they charged me something, but they forgot to give me.
Okay. Did you contest it?
No, I'd already left.
So, but would you have contested it?
If I had been there, I'd be like, yeah, you forgot my soda or you forgot my whatever. Why would I not?
But would you go back the next day to get your money back?
No, that's a waste of gas
money. Or would you call
money.
Them when you got home?
Neither. It's a waste of time. And
okay. If you... or
my precious intellectual resources.
No, here. I got it.
Listen, I'm going to put this...
If you went to Del Taco...
He shushed you.
So I'm sorry about that. I had to, though.
You do realize your life hung on the balance for
I know.
Like a brief moment.
I know. I noticed. If you went to Del Taco...
Once again, he saves your life again.
And you ordered 3 tacos and a churro.
First of all, I wouldn't go to Del Taco.
But this is hypothetical, all right?
3 tacos and a churro is like $2.30.
Fine. Okay. If you went to...
I shouldn't have known that, by the way.
Yeah, you've got problems.
If you went...
Let's talk about your Del Taco problem before we talk about my fuck it, I'm rich problem.
I am who I am.
Okay.
Someone's got to be.
If you went to a Persian restaurant and you ordered...
Which one?
I don't know. This Panini Cafe.
It's not Persian, but I'll
Caspian.
Panini Cafe.
Okay.
All right. And you ordered chicken kebab with...
Open white, days, 7 days a week?
With white rice, a salad, and...
No, I know. You chicken kebab... Caesar salad, no rice, add chicken to the Caesar.
Yep.
Okay. Now, and they charged you for double chicken on the Caesar salad instead of just single chicken, right? And you'd already paid, and you are leaving the store or the restaurant, and you look at your receipt.
You do realize that you're coming up with this elaborate situation that only makes me look reasonable. The only thing you're proving here is that I'm a reasonable human
you're
being.
Walking to the store. You're walking.
You're not proving
to
anything
your car.
Other than my reasonableness.
You've already signed.
Listen to me.
You gave him a good tip, and you walk to your car, and you look at your receipt and says, oh, Caesar salad, double chicken. Well, I only ordered single chicken on my Caesar salad. Are you going to go back and be like, ma'am, you charged me extra for the double chicken.
For the dollar? No, because that involves walking.
Because fuck it, I'm rich.
Listen here. First of all, you just ruined your own case. You made me seem reasonable. That's perfectly fine. I accept that I am a reasonable human being.
So that extra
second
dollar
of all,
means nothing
you
to you.
You two are the worst witnesses of all time. You're in proof of nothing. None of this stands up in Sharia court. None of this, neither of
Shakira
you.
Shakira court.
You need 4 people in Sharia court. There's only 2 of you. Therefore, you're making false accusations.
Have you ever told someone, keep the change?
No, because I don't give cash.
If you give cash, would you tell someone?
These what ifs, right? These what ifs. These hypotheticals.
You've never said keep the change.
You've never said keep the change?
No.
Yes, you have.
Those precious change means a lot to me.
So the difference,
you know, you're really implicating yourself.
I know.
You're being a cheap bastard.
You're a miserly piece of shit is what you are.
No, I'm not. I am a just man.
You're
if
not.
My order was 1156 and I gave you 1160, I expect 1160.
So thank you very much for proving that while I'm reasonable,
this is just.
You're just a dick.
I'm not a dick. This is just.
We provided a united front. You fucked it up.
Yeah, no. Good job,
man. I am a just man.
You're not a just man.
I demand justice.
You're a miserly man.
It's not. I demand justice. I expect my money to be thought of as hard earned, and I expect it to.
But you didn't earn it.
I did earn it.
No, you didn't.
I did. How have I not earned my money?
You haven't earned anything.
I have earned everything.
What you do is you provide labor. That labor is already owned by somebody else.
But I provide the labor, so I should get paid for that labor.
No, you're alienated from your labor.
That's bullshit. I get paid for my labor.
That's not true.
Yes. What do you mean that's not true? People pay me for my labor.
No, they don't.
So do you feel like you make what you deserve?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd say so.
No.
What, you think I should get more?
You don't deserve anything.
What? Fuck you! I don't. You're just. Why are you taking his side?
No, I just asked you a question of whether or not you.
Why are you so angry?
Why are you lashing at me?
Because you start this.
Started nothing.
You provoke him into attacking me.
You told me in the beginning of the podcast that you talk like 78% of the time, and I never speak. So, and now all of a sudden,
I told you he'd cold grudges.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden,
30 minutes. Yeah, he still remembers that.
Oh, 18 years from now, I'm gonna pull that on you.
Too. Like 70%, you piece of shit.
Well, I said that.
Who talks 70% now?
78%.
As he's suffocating you with a pillow. Who's talking 78% now, y'all?
That's true.
Bearded shit.
That's not what I said, right, first off.
In the hospital bed.
I never said that. Can you I speak imagine 78%
that? He waits until you're both in the hospice so he can kill you just a few months earlier.
I said about 4% of the time, 40% of the time I speak. That's the true numbers there. I would.
Diz, I don't know where you're getting these calculations from.
From.
But they're made up entirely.
Amir Ben Vig. He's my mathematician friend.
This is Diz using his using the meme culture to to justify his idiocy.
But you said something about justice, which reminded me
of
our actual topic today, and that is Supreme Court Justice Ruth Ginsburg. So the notorious Justice Ginsburg.
Ginsburg.
Yep.
Jewish.
Yeah, what does that matter?
I'm just asking. Just clarification.
Like, where did that come from?
I need to learn things.
She's known as RBG.
Like LeBron James.
The notorious RBG.
LBJ.
And she is the oldest Supreme Court justice. So she waded into politics recently, like the past couple weeks.
Do they do that often?
No, they don't.
Scalia
does, but most of them don't.
Mm-hmm. Did.
And they asked him, now here's the thing. They asked her the question about Trump's victory, and she said, I don't want to think about that possibility, but if it should be, then everything is up for grabs. Mm. She then went further and called him a faker, and he says whatever comes into his head at the moment. He really has an ego. And of course, Trump decided to respond. He's like, I think it's highly inappropriate if a United States Supreme Court judge gets involved in a political campaign, frankly. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. He then tweeted out that it was unacceptable. She needed to apologize. She needed to resign.
What?
And retire.
Is she a Republican?
No, the Supreme Court justices are not affiliated with any particular party.
But was she appointed by a Republican?
They generally lean.
Okay.
She's one of the left-leaning judges.
Ah.
She's one of the liberal-leaning judges, okay. Or at least especially on women's issues.
As she should be.
The problem is this. So there's this kind of interpretation in, first of all, this is something that we historians deal with all the time, right? It's like we're told we shouldn't have opinions. The Supreme Court justice is the same way. They're like this idea. Somehow we have this interpretation of the law as being objective.
Objective?
Right. As if the law doesn't have opinion, that the law doesn't have ideas and the laws don't have interpretation, and as if justices are somehow cold and calculating and completely rational and they don't have opinions on things.
And they're not human.
Right, and they're not human. And also that having an opinion means that you can't be objective or have a judge.
They're supposed to be lawful neutral. Right?
That's the idea, this kind of perception. You use the same thing with historians, right? Like on historians, there used to be this idea that all historians are objective. And like historians are like, no, we're not. We all have opinions. We all have agendas. We all come from perspectives.
Yeah, it's all from white
that
people.
That doesn't mean that we can't do our jobs.
Yeah.
Right?
That I don't trust interfere. White people.
So this is the person, like this idea. And now people are like, why did she wade into politics? She shouldn't do it. Dude, they asked her opinion. Justice Scalia has regularly given out his opinion. In fact, he's gone so far as to say blacks do better at less prestigious schools.
God, yeah.
Right?
He's not alive anymore.
Yeah, he's not alive. I don't give a fuck.
Good, fuck him.
Right? It's like, the thing is, when someone asked her opinion, she gave it. Somehow now, because she has an opinion, what, do they think she's not allowed opinion? She didn't have an opinion? Or listen, is she not allowed to state her opinion?
Listen, yeah, Ali, here's what this RBG should have done. She shouldn't have spoken.
Do you not know who she is?
No.
I don't.
I can name but maybe like two justices and one's dead. So
name them.
Sotomayor. And Scalia.
Scalia, Sotomayor, Kennedy, Clarence Thomas.
Oh, I know Clarence
Ginsburg,
Thomas. People don't like Kennedy. Clarence Thomas. Wait.
Clarence Thomas is notorious for not saying anything.
I think he once
said one word in like his entire career. He said one word.
He's a black dude. See, I knew that.
He's like notoriously silent as a judge. He sits on the bench and never says anything.
I know the name
because judges ask questions.
Wait, which Kennedy is up there?
I forgot his first name.
Robert.
He's the one that wears a bow tie.
Tim Kennedy. Okay.
An MMA fighter.
Well, I could have been right. James Kennedy, Jim Kennedy. I don't know. Whatever. Anyways, so I'm going to tell you what RBG should have done. All right. RBG should have gone to the goddamn kitchen where she belongs and made a sandwich instead of judging on America. Because no one needs to know what a woman's thinking, Ali. A woman's place is in the kitchen. At least that's what Trump supporters are saying.
Or something about sandwich. Sandwich making is a big thing right now on the internet with women and issues or something.
Yeah.
Make me a sandwich. Like, how could you do this while you're making a sandwich? It's like a meme now.
Yeah, the fedora wearing Redditors.
Yeah, but they're trolling.
I'm trolling.
I know you're trolling, but I'm saying
this is my Trump supporter.
This is the
character.
Thing, though, right? It's like there's two issues here. One is the misunderstanding of what the law is. The law is not objective.
No.
It isn't. It's never been.
It's Anthony Kennedy, by the way.
It's a set of ideas.
Kennedy.
It's interpreted, right? The whole point of the law is that it's constantly interpreted. And guess what? The Supreme Court justices interpret the law. That means they are supposed to have opinions. Oh, they're not supposed to have political opinions. Guess what? All legal decisions are political opinions.
This is true.
Right? So I hate that. That's the first thing is a misunderstanding. And the second thing is the element of female empowerment. Right?
Gender.
So like in our country, it's like we want women to succeed, right? Yeah. We keep saying that.
Yeah.
Woo. Yeah, women's equality. Women, powerful women. Ooh, she's a powerful woman.
What's that lady's name that does the little fist, the muscle thing?
What?
The Susan, the lady with the bandana.
The Riveter?
Riveter. Riveting yeah. Randy. No, that's not her name. Randy's a dude's name.
Anyways, so as I was saying, we want women to be successful. When they are successful, though, they're supposed to act a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't act a certain way, they immediately face misogynistic backlash. And so part of this is misogynistic, very clearly misogynistic, because other Supreme Court justices that are male have given opinions and there's never been this type of backlash.
But then again,
there's never been an issue. Here's a prime example. This is Hillary Clinton. You may critique Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
There's a lot of things I disagree with Hillary Clinton about, probably about 99% of them.
Yeah, critiques are warranted.
Yeah. But most of what she faces is because she's a powerful woman. She's a woman in the spotlight.
Yeah. Like people.
The email scandal is an example of this. Rumsfeld uses emails. Colin Powell used private server. They've all used private emails in the past.
But you think it's because she's a woman or because she's Hillary Clinton?
It's because she's a woman who it happens to be Hillary Clinton.
Oh.
Female people, female figures of power face a certain type of scrutiny that other people don't.
Yeah. Because look, so I'm not going to name any names, but we were on Facebook a few months ago. And a Bernie bro was talking about Hillary, and he kept referring to her as like a bitch. And like, you wouldn't call like Bernie Sanders or Donald Trump a bitch. Like, you know, it's like, it's very.
Gender derived.
There you go.
Here's another a clear example of it. One of the things that people find endearing in Bernie Sanders is what? He's kind of a frumpy grandpa,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He doesn't really know how to dress.
Straight
his
talker.
His suits are kind of unfitted. He's just kind of like he, right? It's just the same thing in England. Like one of my favorite, one of the figures that I adore the most, Corbyn, is kind of famous for wearing his mom's jumpers. His mom knits him jumpers and he wears them. The first time he's ever bought a suit, like an actual suit to wear, not like a hand-me-down suit, was when he was elected to be leader of the opposition, and he had to do prime minister question. Like, it was so endearing, right? We're all like, oh my God, that's so Corbyn, sweet. That's so Jez, right? Mm, yeah. What is Hillary Clinton constantly being critiqued about? That she's too frumpy, right? So a guy can be frumpy and endearingly grandpa, mm-hmm. but a woman who wears pantsuits and, oh, she's so frumpy, she's a librarian. You see the critique. How many times do you see a male politician being asked how much his wardrobe costs? Uh-huh. How often do you find a male politician being asked what they're wearing?
People ask him that?
No one ever asks a male politician that.
Unless they're at the
Hillary red Clinton's, but Hillary Clinton's constantly, this is how much she spent on wardrobe. Oh my God, did you see what she was wearing today? Oh God, that's the second time she wore that orange suit. This is an example of what I'm talking about.
Like when she, hypocrisy. When she gave that talk about like income inequality and she was wearing like that $10,000 dress or some shit.
Well, one of the most famous ones is she herself noted. She's like, if I ever want to be on the front page news, I'll get a haircut. She's right. That somehow the physical aspects of a woman still, even women of power, becomes a big thing. So that even in the realm of politics, which is like, yeah, we're all about gender equality. We have women on the Supreme Court justice. Women on the Supreme Court justice. That means that gender equality exists. That they still face this kind of double standard.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in a much more, I guess, a shallow way. So you also see that with female celebrities, too. Like when they lose a lot of weight or they gain a lot of weight.
Yeah, like Oprah. Everyone's always talking about Oprah's weight and like how she gains it or loses it. And like, it's like, why? What does it matter? It's
sorcery.
What? No, why? But why does it matter? Not how does she do it? It's like why? Why does her weight play like any part in it?
This ties really deeply into the nerd culture, right? It's like we're nerds and we talk a lot about the nerd world, and we see this quite a bit. Comic books and comic book world tend to be quite feminist at times.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
They're one of the earliest representations of powerful women.
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman. Female characters that were as equally strong and powerful
Storm.
As their male counterparts.
Jean Grey.
Right?
Yeah.
And we have whole comic book series with women in charge or leaders. The X-Men is an example of it. Storm was leader of the blue team, right?
Gold.
Yeah.
Gold team, whatever.
Cyclops right? was blue.
He like, checked you, bro.
So they were all, there's always powerful female figures. But at the same time, what do you see in comic books?
They're sexualized.
Hyper-sexualized, tokenized. They all look the same. They're all wearing skimpy outfits, right? So it ends up not only the space of so-called equality is simultaneously replicating social hierarchy.
Question for you, V. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, when I think of comic book women, I'm always thinking of like big-breasted women.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a small-breasted comic book hero woman that you could think of like off the top of your head?
The problem with that is that a lot of it has to do with a penciler's discretion.
Okay.
And as far as I've been able to tell, there's nothing that I can name off the top of my head. I don't know, maybe Squirrel Girl.
I don't know. Cause see,
I don't know.
Like I'm thinking like Jean Grey and I'm seeing her in like her little Phoenix suit or whatever.
No, you look at any of them. They're all very.
Yeah, but who draws comic
books? Seriously, they're all men for the most part.
Yeah.
Men. And who are they generally directed towards?
Men
and guys. Boys. Yeah, we like
boots. You actually look at, but like now, actually one great comic book artist is Fiona Staples.
Mm-hmm.
And she's doing an amazing series with Brian K. Vaughan called Saga,
mm-hmm.
Which I suggest anyone to read because it's absolutely marvelous.
You suggest that in our comic book night video on YouTube.
Oh, did I? Oh, yeah. Perfect. So Saga is absolutely amazing. And she's, you know, her art is just absolutely stellar as well. And you could really see, you know, kind of her representation of women is much more real within the context of the art of Saga, which I think is absolutely amazing. You don't necessarily see it in the mainstream comic books right now because that's just not a lot of pencilers that are female.
Mm-hmm.
But it's changing.
Yeah.
And the thing is, though, our culture, then our nerd culture in and of itself is an interesting one because I think we mentioned it before where it's like surprisingly inclusive, but at the same time, within that inclusivity, there's these really odd kind of divisions between it. Like somehow a girl needs to prove her quote unquote nerd cred.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a guy, it's like if you happen to be into it, they just kind of let him in.
I mean, what was the meme that was going around for a long time was the girl wearing nerd glasses and her hat in her hand, it said nerd. Uh-huh. And they constantly made her into a meme. They made that girl and wears glasses, thinks she's a nerd. Watches the comic book movie, thinks she's a nerd. It's like all these kind of almost elitist, nerd elitism. Like, oh, she can't be a real
nerd. It's ridiculous, actually. You see it a lot in the cons or even, just in gaming culture more so than anything else.
Yeah. Wasn't there a girl that was like really good at that Overwatch game?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. What happened when she was really good?
They accused her of cheating.
Yeah. And she had to do it on live stream. Well, no?
Yeah. And then they ended up fucking swallowing their pride and realizing Blizzard said, yeah, you know what? She's legit. And both these motherfuckers ended up quitting Overwatch.
But she's not unique in that sense, right? Yeah. So like nerds were excited that women showed up to nerd cons. They're like, oh my God, women. Oh my God, right?
It's like,
they're very excited that the female sex appeared. Mm-hmm. And the nerd community has always been really open to the LGBTQ community, open to women, open to people of color, right?
Muslims. So
because it is a minority and marginalized community itself, it tends to be open and accepting.
Yeah.
It's why nerd cons tend to be some of the most diverse places you end up going. When you go to nerd cons of any type, you're like, oh my God, I didn't believe there's this many people of this many different walks of life, rich, poor, white, black, whatever, and so and so.
I will tell you that this is the big problem that I see. I go to cons all the time. I work at cons.
Yeah.
Right? The big issue that I noticed, it happens on Twitch and gaming too. All of a sudden, you see this influx of really pretty, really beautiful women coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of a sudden, the toxic masculinity in these nerds kind of comes out. And they go, oh, these women are in here. Not because they're actually interested in the subject matter, but because they want to get attention from all of us who are suckers enough to give it to them, right?
What? Like
that's a big thing in kind of that nerd culture. It's like, these girls aren't really nerds. They're just attention whores, and they know they can get it from us, so they do.
So one of the problems of this kind of nerd mentality, and part of this ties into white male entitlement. Right? It is. It's white male entitlement. There's a sense of resentment that these women didn't pay attention to them, didn't go to prom with them. And they feel like they have a sense of entitlement over women's bodies.
It's like that
they can police women's bodies, they can regulate women's bodies, and most importantly, that they can own women's bodies. Well, I was a good guy, why didn't she date me? I'm a good guy, well, fuck it. That's why good guys become bad guys.
But who the fuck says you're a good guy?
That's the key point there, right? But you see a lot of that in the nerd culture. So what happens is these places that are inclusive, that are open, that are diverse, end up becoming really toxic places of patriarchy and privilege and entitlement. Mm-hmm. And you see this quite strongly in an instant like Gamergate.
Yeah.
Right?
But that
you saw misogyny really come out to play in that.
Hashtag burgers and fries.
And you see it also in race. Like, you see racism plays a big factor in this. Anyone who's ever played any type of game online or any type of co-op play where you're playing with a bunch of people, right?
Yeah.
You end up here. There's always someone dropping the N-bomb.
Yeah, like that one jackass that's on YouTube. What's his name? Scream, whatever. The one that was talking shit to Fousey. When I told you he called them gay and Muslim.
Keemster.
Keemstar.
Yeah, like that guy. He went on like this fucking racist tangent where he was calling someone the N-word and shit. And he got in trouble for that. Like, they do that.
Yeah. Keemster, but he's a kind of a unique case because his entire content is based off that.
What, him just being a piece of shit?
Him basically, he's a like professional troll.
Okay.
Yeah, he makes stuff up, he lies. He's Donald Trump of YouTube.
Yeah.
He just says what he wants. He makes accusations. I know he's called a bunch of people pedophiles.
Yeah, I've heard that.
And then he makes a video about it, exposing them. And then it causes drama, right? Because they fight back. And then he reports on the drama. His show is called Drama Alert.
Yeah.
So that's all it is. It's like TMZ. They make the news.
Some people forget, too, that, the celebrity culture, quote unquote, that's going on now, like this minor celebrity culture, is a lot different.
It's called micro celebrities.
Yeah. Because now with, you have like people on Twitch who are stars, like people who like to watch them play games. They're not necessarily charismatic people. They just so happens that they do something that people want to watch.
Like, well, Demetrius Johnson, for example.
Yeah.
You and I could both agree that he's one of the best fighters in the world.
And his stream is great, too.
But he's more popular for being a Twitch star than he is for being a UFC fighter.
The reality is this. Look, one of the things that... Now, this is where social media plays into it. Social media democratize celebrity,
mm-hmm.
right? That's the reality of it. Anybody can be a YouTube star.
Yeah.
An Instagram. I mean, remember, being a model at one point was hard. Like, less than 1% of people who tried to be models became models. And models only were models for a short period of time. It's like, what Instagram did is it democratized it. Everyone became a model.
Yeah, now my dumbass little cousin in fucking Virginia thinks she's a fucking model.
Yeah, and what they do is, and the reality is she likely is. You know, the people pay now. They sponsor. Yeah. Hey, wear this dress. Put an outfit of the day. Whatever it's called, right?
Oh, they have the Instagram like booty models too. Like right.
So there's a lot of those.
There's another ones. So I was texting a female yesterday, a female friend of mine.
Via Tinder?
No, via text message.
Tinder.
Text message.
Okay.
And I asked her.
So what'd you say on Tinder?
I said, why are all these girls MUAs?
What does that mean?
Makeup artist. So I have a lot of friends that like I went to high school with and like, you know, that I've just met over the years who have now all of a sudden become makeup artists. So like their Instagram pages would be like.
Or YouTube MUA. Videos.
Yeah. And they do like YouTube tutorials and stuff. And I looked at this girl that I knew and like she had 206,000 followers. And I was like, holy shit. Like, you weren't even that popular in high school. How the fuck do you have 206,000 followers? So look,
that's what social media does. It democratized these areas that were originally hierarchical, right? So like celebrities, video. There was a time to be a filmmaker, it required something. To be a movie star, it required something, right? Mm-hmm. These things were hierarchical and inaccessible to the average person.
Yeah. Now I need
social media democratized it. That's a good thing, right? Making it accessible to people is something that we should always constantly be striving to do.
Yeah.
But there are inadvertent effects of doing that. So when you democratize things, you also create new norms. And those new norms can replicate some of the hierarchies before. So YouTube is an example of this. Even though these people are micro-celebrities, right? Mm-hmm. So you create the world of micro-celebrities. They're famous only in their world.
Correct.
Right? Not outside of it. But then there is a hierarchy on YouTube. The person who's verified versus the person who's not. The person who has 1 million subscribers versus the person who has 20. The person who has 5 million versus the person who has 1 million. So there, you create new hierarchies, right? And you create new categories. And within those new categories and new hierarchies, guess what exists? The old ones.
Yeah,
true. That are based off of a gender, that are based off of race, that are based off of class. Homophobia. It's why we see, for example, one of the things that YouTube has done beautifully is it is by democratizing the celebrity. YouTubers now are fantastic representations of the LGBT community, of women, right? You have some powerful, powerful female figures that are on YouTube and making millions of dollars, having influence over millions of subscribers and so on and so forth. But what is the problem in that? What do you think is the problem?
That people still go back to their old bullshit.
Well, what does that mean? What do you think? What do you fathom would be the problem? You have these powerful figures.
Like women?
These powerful women and powerful LGBTQ people on YouTube. What could possibly be wrong?
Sexual harassment on their...
No, I mean, that's a given, right?
Yeah.
That's a given. But what do you think could...
They get paid less than the guys do?
They often get not included in conventions.
Like what?
So, for example...
VidCon?
I'm getting there. Here's an example of this. Gamers are considered to be predominantly male. Female gamers are almost not included in any of the gaming cons. Up until recently, there's been some change in that. Places like VidCon and other these places that celebrate YouTube stars, there is no place for the female sketch comedian. It's considered a male-dominated field.
Is it though?
It's true. It's, yeah.
Almost all of them are male, even though that's not true. Community Channel is a prime example of a woman who does female sketch comedy.
Listen, like
Grace Helbig, female sketch comedy, right? But these people are considered predominantly male. I mean, the field is considered predominantly male. The top 10 YouTubers are who? Male. The top 10 most paid? Male. Guess what? Beauty gurus were not considered real YouTubers for the longest time.
Why not?
The early VidCons, even though beauty gurus were the first, I mean, as much as I hate capitalism and fuck capitalism, right? They were the first to really bring in marketing. They were the first to really integrate with traditional vintage media. They were the first to bring in sponsorships. They were the first to open companies and entrepreneurs. Almost every makeup guru that was on there created lines and lines of makeup, right? Yeah. More advanced, saw the tide 10 times faster than any other YouTuber out there.
Yeah.
But they were almost always excluded from those
They weren't considered YouTube content creators?
They were not considered content creators. The content creators were always either gamers, male sketch, or daily vloggers who became daily vloggers who ended up becoming boy band material.
What about the pranksters?
Pranksters also. They were always there, right? Okay. So these are the people that were kind of the big YouTubers.
Uh-huh.
But the beauty guru, not so much.
Yeah. So like what? Like dress your
until,
face?
Yeah. Until recently, until now, you're starting to see beauty gurus having their own separate spot on VidCon. And so you see that even within this moment, we have powerful women, all of a sudden, hierarchy. Let's say that beauty guru dared to give a political video, made a video that gave a commentary.
They would tell her to shut the fuck up. They would
tell her to shut the fuck up. She's a beauty guru.
Hey, what the fuck? You know,
you're I didn't subscribe to this. So you see, this is the kind of thing I'm talking about. That in the democratization process,
that
looks great, new hierarchies exist. And in those new hierarchies, the old ones are still there.
Because like Fousey, for example, right?
Yeah.
Like while some people may not like him, I tend to enjoy his videos, you know? Like
I haven't seen that many, to be honest with you. He's an entertaining guy.
Yeah.
Mostly I watch it because I like Ali.
Yeah, well, that's true,
Let's
too.
Be real.
Yeah.
I'm like, Ali may have had something to do with this video. I'm going to watch this video.
No, but like, I'll watch, like, I'm subscribed to his channel and shit, and like, I'll watch his videos every now and then. And like, I don't agree with everything he says, and I don't agree with all that he does. But like, so about a couple years ago, he posted a video. This is the first time I actually got exposed to Ali is before I met him. Mm-hmm. He posted a video where he got pulled over by a cop and he claimed it was racial profiling.
Yeah, yeah, right? I saw that video.
And then Ali came and saved him. Up, yeah. So, like, I didn't agree. Like, I kind of was like, okay, maybe he was, but it wasn't really showing any evidence that the cop was racially profiling. You got pulled over because you didn't have plates on your car and then you didn't have your license on you. So, like, realistically, you're kind of in the wrong there. Like, I'm sorry, bro. Like, it's on you. But no one really gave him shit for posting a video of him saying, like, this is racial profiling. Or when he posts, like stuff against people that are being anti-Muslim. Like, they don't say shit to him for it. Like, that's weird to me. Like, people are like, oh, yeah, look at him. He's so great. He's standing up for Muslim rights. Woo, look at this guy.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've seen his videos. Gets a lot of hate.
Yeah, by, like, white people sometimes. That's because it's Muslim. But if it was, like, a white dude saying some good shit.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that when you democratize, you have a variety of opinions that are going to naturally challenge you.
Yeah, but, like, I mean, it's not, like, I think, like, if like, Lily Singh said something that, like, oh, we shouldn't be, like, anti-Indian.
I mean, gender plays a massive role in that, but, of course, so does race, right? You know, when someone of
color.
Another example is that who are the top 10 YouTubers?
Felix.
They're white.
Markiplier.
Almost all of them are white. With like two exceptions.
Well, Fousey's brown and so is Lily Singh and they're up there.
She's not one of the top 10.
She's not? Is Fousey one of the top 10?
He's, I think, 12. The top 10 ones are the ones that have become massive companies. So like the Smoshes.
Okay.
They're the ones that have, they're in the 20,000s. They're in the 30 millions.
They're worth $30 million?
No, million subscribers. So like
PewDiePie
has like, what is he, 38 now?
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
He's like at a point, he's got more, there's more people subscribing to him than the fucking number of people in the country. Same, like
Fine Brothers, PewDiePie. Fine, but
these are massive ones, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, these kind of, and they also tend to be a little bit, with some exception, they tend to be groups.
Okay.
Right, so Smoshin is an example of that, is a perfect example of it. Fine Brothers is another
like
example.
PewDiePie and Markiplier aren't.
PewDiePie and Markiplier are not, they're unique, but they're gamers. Okay. Right, that gamers are always top 10, right? And most of them are male, most of them are straight, most of them are white.
Oh, Tyler Oakley,
right? Tyler Oakley is not top 10, but he is up there. He's up there.
God damn!
But you're looking at Tyler Oakley is like 10 million.
Does he?
Which is a lot,
yeah,
right?
Insane.
But when you put it to 30 million,
that's,
it doesn't put him in the top 10.
That's weird. I would think, you know.
Now, like I said, again, this is unique. There's more LGBTQ representation on YouTube than I think most traditional platforms.
True.
Right? But there's still that kind of hierarchy that's a problem. And that hierarchy becomes an issue. We see this perfectly again in nerd culture, in nerd cons. Nerd cons depict women with big breasts, wearing certain type of attire. You can almost hide the face, and the body template is the same for almost all female comic book characters.
Yeah, pretty much. Anime's even worse.
And anime's worse. But when women dress in those characters, based off of what men drew, they're said to be women who are trying to seek attention.
Well, you know what's fucked up? I mean, I saw this. They posted a big banner, Wizard of Philadelphia, that was in a couple, like a month ago. And this is a big thing that's been going on with all the events now because there's a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
Cosplay is not consent. That's the big thing. Yeah. Cosplay is not consent. So, I mean, and the only reason why they did that was because these women who were cosplaying
would get groped and
because,
stuff.
Yeah, because they just happened to be wearing things that
taken photos of.
Yeah, like
in inappropriate
doing
ways.
Doing all sorts of shit that shouldn't have happened, right?
There was a video of that guy that was taking upskirt pictures.
Yeah, exactly. I almost beat up this guy at WonderCon once because I was me and my friends were sitting there. We were eating nachos and we saw a dude wearing a Boba Fett mask and an old 70s tuxedo like take a picture of his girl upskirt. And like we were sitting there, I was ready to fucking punch him in his face.
Did you say something to him?
It turns out that it was his wife. Oh. You know, so I met this Boba Fett before because he lives locally, but like, yeah, it turns out it was his wife. So I was like, okay, well that's not so bad. But I was like one of those things where all of us collectively went, well, we're gonna have to start some shit with this guy now because we just saw him like take an upskirt photo of his girl. Yeah. And
so, this is an example of how these kind of places of inclusivity become a problem. So why is this related in any way, shape, or form to Judge Ginsburg, right? It's a perfect example of how just because you have women succeeding, women breaking the so-called glass ceiling, doesn't necessarily mean that social attitudes have changed entirely. Yeah. That the attitudes remain, but they end up becoming coded, right? This is the same thing with race. This is the same thing with gender, the same with class, right? So, like, for example, in England, I often remark that UK's form of race is a little bit different than ours, right? So we say thug. Thug is very racialized.
True.
But they say chavs. Chavs is very classist.
Chavs?
Chavs. It refers to lower class, working class boys predominantly. And it's similar. Like, they wear baggy clothes. They have certain accents or dialects that they considered uncouth, right? And so you see class and race being very clearly tied together in...
Yeah. So would Ali G be a chav?
Ali G is, for example, a chav. He's a very good example of kind of a chav, right? So you see that in England. In America, you see a different example of it. But what happened is that as we've moved forward as society, as the glass ceiling has been broken, and we have more and more representations of LGBTQ figures, of female figures in media, in sports, and whatever, right? We didn't change our attitudes. No. What we did is we coded them because now we have to say it to someone's face.
True.
Right? Yeah. So that's the difference now. And you see, I think nerd culture is a nice microcosm for understanding it. You get to look at the nerd cons, at comic books, at the gaming world, and you see that, hey, this is a fantastic. Anybody can be a gamer. Anybody can be a nerd. Women, LGBTQ, men, anybody, right? That it isn't there isn't normative standards there. Mm-hmm. Right, and in fact, you'll find more people accepting of non-gender binaries and whatnot in the nerd world than you will find in other sub-communities. But in those moments of that are so inclusive, where there's more representation, comic books are radical. First LGBTQ characters, first female characters, right? Mm-hmm. Even before TV.
Yeah. Like leads. But
representation and glass ceiling breaking doesn't mean that the culture has changed.
Yeah.
And that's what we're dealing with. It's why someone like Justice Ginsburg is accused of having an opinion. Oh my God, a woman with an opinion.
Well, it's no different. I mean, it's not a good example, but Diz will understand it in the UFC or mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
You know, why is it that Gina Carano, Ronda Rousey, and Paige Van Zandt get so much attention as opposed to, let's say, Chris Cyborg, right? And you saw it because women's MMA has been around forever.
Yeah, Cyborg's been the best women's fighter for a decade.
Who got all the attention in the
Ronda Rousey?
No, even before that, Gina Carano did.
Yeah, and then she got beat by
Cyborg.
And then like they're like, we're never going to sign. Dana White flat out said, women's fighting will never happen in the UFC. And then Ronda Rousey, this attractive young lady, who ended up just demolishing people for like the first 10 fights of her career, And he was like, oh, okay, well, Ronda Rousey changed my mind. Why? Because she's fucking marketable. She's pretty. You put her in movies.
That's standards of beauty and capitalism that play a role in it. But I don't consider female MMA fighters a sign of feminism.
Here, check this out.
That's not a success of feminism.
Like, in the beginning of the podcast, when I was saying, like, oh, I'm the pop culture and sports nerd, the UFC had its first openly gay champion, right? Mm-hmm. Now, they never mentioned that she's gay. Like, you know she's gay because, you know, you saw her kissing her girlfriend and they did, like, the UFC embedded where they do, like, they record their lives and stuff. Mm. They never mentioned it. That's a big deal, right? Mm. Like, for LGBTQ rights, that's a big deal that there's, an openly gay champion in the UFC. Like, it's not, like, this image of, you know, like, gay people being, like, weak and stuff. It's like, oh, you know, look, gay people can be fighters mm-hmm. too and champions too. But they never mentioned that. And
do you think that's a problem?
I think it's a problem because if that was the first openly gay male champion, it would have been a huge deal.
But maybe she didn't want it to be mentioned.
But this is the same week that they UFC 200, they unveiled like this new T-shirt mm-hmm. that said "We are fighters," and it had it in the rainbow mm-hmm. to be more inclusive of gay rights.
Yeah, but maybe she didn't want it because a lot of like there are LGBTQ actors who are not open in the public.
But she's open in the public.
Who by open in the public? I mean,
she doesn't want to be like advertised
as gay or as lesbian. They don't want to be tokenized, and that's perfectly understandable.
I get that.
That people are more than their gender. They're more than their sexuality. We see this with a lot of actors, right? Uh-huh. Actors are not, they're not in the closet.
Yeah.
They have spouses, they have partners, they have whatnot.
Like Jim Parsons.
But they don't take questions about their sexuality and they don't act as icons for the community because they don't want to be tokenized.
Yeah, Jim Parsons.
Many ways, that's a good approach because what it does, it normalizes. It says they're just like everyone else. If we keep going, first openly gay this, first openly that can become in of itself problematic.
True, but it also could be helpful.
I also push back on the idea that women in the UFC is any way, shape, or form feminist. It's not. It's not women participating or is gender equality. Women participating in militant masculinity is not success of feminism.
I don't think V was trying to get at that. I think V was just trying to say because you were talking.
Yeah, but you're talking gender equality that women are now in the UFC.
I'm not talking about. No, we were talking about like attractiveness and stuff.
Even attractiveness is not as major a factor. The fact that women are even present in the UFC is not a glass ceiling breaking. It's a participation of a particular social structure. It's the same thing with women in the military. Women in the military are not feminist victories. Mm-hmm. They're participating in a particular structure that divides the world, that colonizes the world between a core and a periphery.
But what would you say about Invicta Fighting, which is an all-women's organization that is owned by a woman?
I don't consider it it's still militant masculinity. Having women participate in any type of form of toxic masculinity, military, sports fighting, is not feminist victories.
Okay, well, what about the first woman assistant coach for the NBA basketball team?
Competitive sports can be militantly, can be toxic masculinity, but I think it's slightly different. I think competitive sports is slightly different, especially team sports, slightly different than competitive fighting.
Okay. So is that a victory for women that they hire the first
assistant coach? I don't know. I would say yeah.
Yeah. I would say yes as well.
We have to also be careful. We're three guys talking about women.
We're white knighting it, bro.
Not the right term. I appreciate the gesture. I appreciate the attempt. Not quite.
Mansplaining?
We're a bit mansplaining this. We're definitely mansplaining this. Three dudes, three guys talking about gender equality.
Vagina, make it woman.
Not a woman present to give her perspective. Three guys. We know exactly what.
Should I ask your Tinder friend to join the podcast?
And on that note, we're going to end this podcast. Diz, how about you take us out?
You can catch us on Facebook, facebook.com/currently. Go on there, like our page, follow us. Make your friends write in our wall. Make your friends follow us. We're on the tweets @currentlynerdy on Twitter. Hashtag of the week this week is #currentlynerdy mansplains women. You like that one? That good?
That's a good one.
I like it. Ask Currently Nerdy, always going around. Ask us some goddamn questions, motherfuckers. We're also on Instagram, Currently Nerdy on Instagram. Follow us, like our pictures, write some comments on our photos. We're on the Tumblr, currentlynerdy.tumblr.com. Go on there and follow us on there. YouTube, more YouTube videos to come. We've been creating content, motherfuckers. So just search Currently Nerdy on YouTube and you'll find our videos there. And we're on iTunes. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes, please. And if you want to get a hold of us individually, you can. V, tell them how they can get a hold of you.
Of course, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at VTran214. That's VYTRAN214 and thesandwichslayer.com. Ali?
You can find me on my website, alialomi.com, or you can find me on Twitter at AAOLOMI. Diz.
You can find me everywhere, Dizbulla, DIZBULLAH.
For everyone here at Currently Nerdy, thank you for tuning in. And remember, stay smart, sexy nerds.
And we love you.